Lord Jesus, please protect us from the dangers and difficulties of the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. That was Tom McCaffrey. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, man?
I got Jessica Delfino here, too.
Hey.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
What a day.
God.
Oh, jeez.
Your dreams came true.
This show is brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast from 230-something Minnesotans. Small-town news, celebrity gossip, TV, movies, and their daily lives are all discussed. Wicked yet sweet. Mm. Yeah. I hear you, Tom.
Yeah.
You took that in.
I like Wicked.
Well, go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com. Right. Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information. Where they do exactly what I just said, I guess.
Yeah.
Kenda, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How's it going with you?
I am doing very well, actually. I don't know if you remember.
You set me up. You just wanted to say how good you were doing.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for responding.
How are you doing?
I'm glad you asked. I'm doing well. Well, do you remember last week we were saying how in Indonesia a volcano erupts and they have a guy that watches this volcano? And he will, and he prays to the gods for the volcano not to erupt. And it erupted all over him, slowly, that he could have escaped. But he thought it was his duty to stay there.
Can you imagine? Is he sitting and putting out his hand like, stop? Or is he standing and doing it? Does he do a little boogie dance?
Well, he was found in the Islamic prayer sit.
Oh.
And so, yeah, he doesn't move. And I guess just prays harder, like, please, reverse time.
See, I feel like either the prayer sit has to be changed or...
Couldn't there be a prayer run?
Yeah.
It seems like a no-brainer.
A prayer get out of the volcano.
Well, I took my globe and I crossed off Indonesia because there's no point. Really not many places. Canada I can still go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, good Europe.
Good Europe?
Yeah. A lot of it's really, there's no point.
Right.
But you know,
I've never heard that, but yeah.
Oh yeah, England. Can you hand me that globe up there? I'll show you. But it's England you can keep.
Okay.
Ireland.
Like, Ireland is fine. Scotland is fine. Let me look on here. See what we got.
Some Denmark, some Amsterdam.
Denmark, you could keep Denmark, Sweden. You know, once you start getting into Russia, I don't know.
Right, you don't want to go there.
Kind of mixed feelings.
Ukraine, Romania. Okay.
You have mixed feelings?
A little, yeah. I'd like to check out Russia, like, for 2 minutes.
This is like where Keith is from.
From a plane.
He's crossing it off his globe.
You're from Russia?
He's like, I'm here already. What else do we need?
Were you born in Russia?
I don't know.
Oh.
I know I wasn't born there, but I don't know if my grandparents are from there, or they're from the Ukraine, or they're from Czechoslovakia, somewhere around there.
Rumor is he's from that area.
But I really don't know. But there's no point. Once you get past France and Germany, enough with that side.
Yeah.
You're done. You don't need to go to the far east of Russia.
Or Spain, you could go there.
Spain's fine. France is fine.
Greece, a little Greece.
How do you like Spain?
I liked Spain. I mean, I was like 15 years old when I went. So, I mean,
what can you see? Yeah, what can you see in Spain? Like all the hot chicks?
What's running?
Yeah, I guess there were hot chicks. I mean, I was 15 at the time, so the big thing was that you could drink, because there was no drinking age.
There's no drinking age?
I think there might. I think it's like you have to be 16, but they don't give a shit. I was 15, and I was there with a bunch of kids who were 15, because it was like one of those things where you go off with a bunch of kids
field trip?
The summer. Not really a field trip, because isn't a field trip like you go to a field for the day?
No.
Sorry, I'm very misinformed. I didn't know that you know so much about what a field trip is.
She was like, no. I went with the school to the theme park, and we were on roller coasters. And he goes, really? We just went to a field. And I go, you didn't sign up for the field trip, did you? You signed up for the roller coaster trip.
Right, right.
But I like that it's like, you know how when a bunch of students at the age of 15, you just go for a month to like Europe or something?
Yeah, everybody? You know how it is. Come on, you guys.
Right?
You know your parents' cart.
Well, I think that people get the opportunity to do that in certain high schools. And I believe that they did it in my high school, but I didn't do it because I was busy smoking pot with my friends in a truck.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I did for my
trip. You had not done that, you would have been able to go to Europe and do that for a month.
I was actually tripping. And so I didn't, instead of going on a trip, I tripped.
So it was like you were in Spain. You didn't even have to go.
Exactly.
It wasn't like in my high school. It was like a thing outside of it where you had to sign up, and there are kids from everywhere in the
Where'd
United States.
Where'd you grow
States.
Up?
I grew up in Manhattan.
Oh.
Downtown.
Hello, money. Yes.
Thank you. No, I, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm like, so... no, yeah.
I'm just clarifying.
But you know, you could live in, back in the 80s, you could live in Manhattan.
And go to Spain at 15.
Right.
Sure.
Yes, you could yes. tell. You could yeah, tell.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I flew coach when I went to Spain, so it wasn't all
and
it was cracked up to be.
Guess
we were
what, Tom?
We were struggling.
Your first hate mail just got started, so look forward to that email.
Oh, cool. My dad's listening.
Well, you're a comedian, Tom, and you do, I don't know if you know this, you're a comedian, and you do,
yes.
you've done stand-up. And now you're getting into the world of rap.
Yes.
And
that's a good segue.
A lot of your raps are about not having any money. Mm-hmm. Is this a lie?
That I don't have money?
Yeah.
I mean, not really. People would always say that I was, you know, that my family had money, and they'd be like, oh, you're rich. I'm like, I don't have any fucking money. No one's giving me any money.
Where do you live?
I live in Manhattan now.
Who do you live with?
I don't want to talk about this. I actually, I'm at my dad's apartment right now.
Okay.
I'm living, it's funny because the name of my album is Get Rich or Move Back In With My Dad.
And you really did.
I did move back in with him.
What happened?
Thanks a lot, assholes. Thanks for making that happen.
What age did you move back with your parents? With your dad?
With my dad. It's not my parents. I'm not a fucking loser.
Is your mom still around? One,
no, she's not alive anymore.
Oh, she's not?
Thanks. You're really making this easy for me.
How old were
I'm
you?
I'm going to go cry now about my life.
I had to move back in with my parents. And there's
no, the, it's not. It I didn't worst. Move back in with my parents.
With your dad.
My dad.
With your dad.
How old is he?
How old were you when you went back? When you
I mean, this
dad?
Was like 7 months ago. So
oh, okay.
I was 37. I'm 37. So,
now,
yeah.
What happened? What happened?
Why did I have to move back in?
Yes.
Well, Manhattan what happened
speak.
Was it was going.
It really sounds like we're pulling it. Your CD is called I Moved In With My Dad.
No.
So tell me about
that's
moving
not
in.
Exact, that's paraphrasing the title, but yes. It's called Get Rich or Move Back In With My Dad, which is supposed to be making fun of the, you know, the 50 Cent album, Get Rich
right.
or Die Trying. Right.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. I.
What do you well, think's what happened easier was, interview? 50 Cent or.
Or me? I don't know. Like, how was 50 Cent the last time you had him in?
What, he was a little elusive.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you.
My
this.
Entourage will not shoot anyone. I promise you that.
Bullshit. That's what 50 Cent.
Oh, really?
Said. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, I'll tell you what happened was I actually was living in Park Slope and I was living with another comedian and he was kind of slacking with the rent and we had a problem with our landlord and he was refusing to pay his rent. So
was that the problem?
That really was the problem. Like, I know that sounds sketchy.
No, I mean, I've had problems with my landlords too. I didn't pay them.
Right, right. Well, that. Well, the problem was there was something wrong. He had black mold in his room.
Okay.
Which, you know, can kill you.
Sure.
If it's not taken care of. And she wasn't taking care of it. And then he was saying, I'm not going to pay the rent. And she was like, oh, mm. you have to pay the rent. And then she said she was going to sue me because my name was on the lease. So I was like, to my dad, I was like, can I just move back in for a little while? And he was like, yeah, sure. Not knowing that I was going to stay there. You know, and pursue my rap career.
Did you know that?
What?
Did you know you would stay there? 7 months is a long time.
Yeah, this is full of shit. This isn't about black something or other on your wall.
No, it is.
That's a week at your parents' house. That buys you a week.
Right.
And that is a very luxurious week that you should shut the fuck up about.
Right.
7 months, it does not buy you. Now, what
happened? Well, then what happened was I moved in and I was trying to record this rap album. And it was a lot easier to not look for a place. And just, you know, work on that. Because I had a nice place in the middle of Manhattan that I wasn't paying for. So I wasn't really motivated to go look for another place.
I mean, when was the last time you slept with a girl? Or a guy?
A girl? Last night?
Last night? Where?
At her apartment.
Are you dating anyone?
Yeah, I'm dating someone.
Okay. Do you have plans?
My dad.
Your dad's girlfriend?
There was a list of rules when I moved back in.
Right, right.
Do you have plans of moving out? Do you have a date?
I am. I'm actually moving. I think I'm moving to LA, actually.
When? There's no thinking.
I'm sorry. Was this all set up by my dad?
Your dad's
getting
in.
The fuck out of the apartment? It's like, oh, come on the podcast. By the way, get out of here. It's like, I feel like I'm in an intervention to get out of there.
Tom, listen, I've been meaning to talk to you about something.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dad called me.
Okay.
If this is news to you, you do not have good friends. This is...
What's news to me?
That you should move out of your dad's house. Nobody's telling you this?
Why is it so bad to live with
your
parents?
I know that it's... Actually, no one is telling me that. A lot of people, when I tell them that, they're like, if I had a parent who lived here...
If my mom and dad lived here, I would definitely... I mean, Alex's parents live in Philadelphia. We go to Philly almost every other weekend.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah.
No, see, Keith, I think you're wrong about that. I think that...
That nothing's wrong with being 37 and live with your parents?
No, I think...
It's not that there's nothing wrong with it, but I mean, hey, everyone needs like a little break sometimes, and living with your parents for a little while and having free rent and free food is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it is. 7 months is too long, but I disagree
with you.
How
long isn't too long?
A month at most. I disagree with Keith that people would tell him it's a bad thing, because I feel like people struggle so much. It's like, fuck it, if somebody's letting you... chill out for a second, I don't think people would be bothered by that. I think they would be bothered if he was couch surfing and mooching off of friends, but this isn't really harming anyone but
and
him.
And if you have an elderly dad who's like okay with you living there, I mean...
No.
No.
Wait, what do you mean no? Well, I'm not defending this, because I didn't move in because I had to. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I'm out of money. It was like I had to get out of my situation immediately.
Yeah, that immediacy ends a month later. Do you know what immediate
I didn't
means?
Know. I didn't check the...
And you know,
yeah, I know.
And come this right, I understand.
It means like 8 months.
I understand. I understand friends wouldn't
tell
you.
So I have another month left.
I wouldn't say... I understand friends wouldn't tell you. But, you know, what are they going to say? Like, that is... that's so such good news.
Right,
I wish
right.
I could. Then do you go, well, why don't you? It's not for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, people, friends won't tell me, but people that I just met and when I'm doing their podcast have no problem telling
no,
me.
No, you know who I think would tell him is the person he's dating. Like, hey, can we not go to your dad's house?
You know, the weird part is when I was...
they love
first...
it. They
no,
love
when
it.
No, it didn't hurt me getting laid. Like, it was... there were a couple times where girls were like, I was like, I'm at my dad's place right now. And they were like, oh, well, can I just, like, sneak in? And I was like, all right. I, like, snuck in a couple of chicks a couple of times. It kind of was really
But
weird.
are you really sneaking them in at this... Like, if your dad saw you with a girl, would he be like, what is going on here? Like, he probably wouldn't.
That was a great... That's exactly...
I told you, your dad called me. We had a long discussion.
No, I don't know. It was... but anyway, I'm getting out. I'm going to LA.
Do you have a savings now?
Yes, I do, yeah. I have money. I have some money.
All right.
Do you have
this is so strange.
Do you have a few $1,000 saved?
I have way more than that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing really well. Okay. I'm a rapper. Come on. You can't be a rapper and be, you know, rap about, you know. Actually, I do rap about not having a lot of money, but.
You can't be a rapper nowadays and be a rapper.
That is true.
Yes.
I will agree with that.
Being a comic rapper, how do you say it? What people would call more legit rappers, are they ever offended by it?
The more legit rappers?
Do you know what I mean? Like, well, rappers, you know.
Like I'm making fun of or making a mockery
you're
of
You're making a mockery of how we had to talk to survive on the streets.
Right. Well, G-Unit was very upset with me when I was hanging out with them last week. Well, that's the thing is I grew up loving rap and hip-hop. Right. So I always wanted to do it, but I definitely didn't have a background that I felt lended itself to being a rapper. Like, I didn't think me living in Manhattan and going to the Hamptons every summer was like, you know what, I should be a rapper because I'm sick of this bullshit. But, I mean, I always loved it. It was kind of a dream of mine to do that. I loved the Beastie Boys and all those guys. So what happens when I was doing comedy, I saw a lot of people in comedy rapping, you know, like the Lonely Island guys.
Where'd you get this accent from? This
I don't know. I just talk really weird. It's
very stony.
I know,
also...
but I don't really smoke weed. When I smoke weed, I just stop talking. Because how much lazier can my voice get, you know? I just start groaning. Like, I don't know. I grew up in Manhattan. My mom was from Texas, so maybe that had a little to do with like those two together.
Oh, yeah. I can kind of hear that.
Really?
Actually. Now that you say Texas, it kind of makes sense.
I have the backing track to a song of yours.
Oh, okay. You want me to rap on it?
If you're into it, less money, more problems.
Do you really want me to do it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I wasn't expecting... Okay.
You weren't expecting... We thought, you know, maybe we won't do music after all, but the more we're talking about rap, I'm like, no, people have to hear this.
Right. This has, like, a backing vocal on it.
Okay.
Just so you know. And also, it has... Usually, do you know who Carolyn Castiglia is?
She's a comedian.
She's a comedian. She raps and sings. She sings the hook on this, so she's not here, but the hook... is on here, her singing it.
So maybe we'll just do a little bit, but do you mind giving people a taste?
No, I don't mind. I just wasn't expecting.
I'm sorry. We told him that we're not going to be.
No,
doing...
I'll totally do it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just sitting down, so the energy might not be.
Sure.
Let's just fucking do it.
You can stand up.
No, I'll just do it like this.
Whatever you expected to do at first, you can do that. I don't know if you need to change. Do you need an outfit change?
No, I just need to change my... No, yeah. Can I get my sweatshirt?
Do you need to count me in, or I'll just begin?
No, let's just fucking do it. This is called... What's it called?
This is called Less Money, More Problems.
Yeah. Let's hit it. Let's crank that. Yeah, TNC back, bitches. Yeah, less money, more problems. I'm about to start rapping. Oh, here we go. Yo, ain't pay my cable bill in 15 months. The ATM says I have insufficient funds. My money problems are really stressing me out. Day and night, yeah, it's all that I think about. I look for money in the cushions of my couch. Me and Bill Gates ain't got nothing in common. To save money, I'm eating Mad Top Ramen. Got less possessions than the Dalai Lama. And I'm more broke than Jenna Jameson's hymen. Got no checks coming in, and my life is hell. I'm handing out IOUs to fucking Taco Bell. Got no cash, and things are going fucking awry. Every night I pray that my rich uncle will die. Went to a hooker who looked like Robert De Niro. She wanted 30 bucks for sex. I was like, how about zero? Was stealing internet from my neighbor Bjorn. He moved, now I can't look at online porn. No more porn, I jerk off to glamour. Going bankrupt faster than MC Hammer. Used to steal from Target, but now they're on to me. Puffing so much weed, I should move to Honolulu. I'm losing mad sleep through this fucked up economy. At the club, my credit card gets declined. Yeah. So poor, can't even afford to spend time. Yeah. Second verse, it only gets worse. Listen up, bitches, cause I'm about to start rapping again. Yeah. My credit's a joke, I got mad money gripes. Owe more back taxes than Wesley Snipes. Other day someone asked me how was my portfolio. I said good, even though I don't know what the fuck is a portfolio. My funds are retarded like Cuba Gooding and radio. Can't afford health insurance, but that's okay, yo. When I get a fever, I pray it goes away, yo. I went to a chateau, but I didn't have enough dough. So I went to the bathroom, climbed out the window. Collectors on my ass about my student loan. When they call my phone, I say that Tom ain't home. Don't even try and fuck with my money, Holmes. I'll drop your ass faster than the fucking Dow Jones. Don't have enough to buy or even lease. Last week I borrowed a dollar from my 4-year-old niece. Didn't pay her back and her mama's irated. Got 99 problems, they're all money related. Can't get an apartment without a cosign. Been bouncing mad checks and now I'm getting fined. Yeah. On a date with me, you won't get wine or dines. Yeah, and my sister pays my cell phone bill. That's it. Cut that shit. Damn.
There you go. Beautiful.
That was hot.
All right. And if you're curious, was Tom reading? I told him we're not going to do it after all. So he was absolutely not ready or reading. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty good on the spot.
Now
right?
You take that pretty talent good. And you yeah. get the fuck out of your dad's house.
I will.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. It's weird how it took this podcast to finally get me out of my dad's place. And I'm not even kidding.
Jessica, you were dating a guy and the guy's living with his dad. You would find that just sweet.
Honestly, I probably would not date someone starting off from that place unless they had a really good reason, like my dad is dying and he asked me
right.
to move back
dying.
And take care of him.
Is your dad dying, Tom?
But I like mean, we're all dying.
Yeah. If my 37-year-old son's living with me, I'm fucking dying.
But if I met
he's
somebody,
dying on the inside.
If I met someone and they said, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Phil and I'm living with my dad
right.
because I'm really poor and I don't have anywhere else to live.
Right. That's not a good opener.
I'd be like, it was great to meet you.
Yeah, that's
Phil.
Just a weird opener, yeah. But how about if they said, I actually have enough money in my bank account to move out. I'm just not.
I guess I would need to have more information.
See, when you said, you know, if your parents lived here, you would live with them, blah, blah, blah. See, I think that's full of shit because you live with your boyfriend. You're not going to live with your boyfriend and your parents. That is a dynamic that nobody wants to endure.
That's true.
Yeah. So I get the idea of like, hey, let's chill out. You know,
I mean,
on someone
things are
else's
going
dime.
Pretty well right now, though. You know, there was a time a few years ago when if my parents were living in the city, I would have been really glad. And I probably would have moved back in with them.
My parents lived 2 miles from here. No, never. No, No, and I even tried it. I lasted a week and moved the fuck out
with
no money.
My parents are like reasonable people who I get along with. You know,
I will say.
This does not compute, so.
I will say, I'm not to keep harping on this, but it is just my dad. So that is a little bit different if it's just your dad.
It's slightly different.
It's a little bit different.
No.
Instead of mom and dad, you're saying?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying because dad's like a bachelor. And
right.
Yeah, it's almost like an old roommate. I mean, what if you're living with a guy
it's exactly
who is,
like that.
What? It's an old roommate that you're not sleeping with who's
nose.
Paying your rent? No.
Exactly.
Do you have your own apartment number? Like, are you apartment one and then your dad, it goes in the same mail and your dad gives it to you? Like, here's you have a letter, son.
No, he's one and a half.
Mm.
Or 1A.
No, no. It's exactly how you just did it. Like, here's your letter, son. It kind of is like that.
Are you guys like best friends?
Does he make you breakfast?
And you talk about chicks and stuff, and then he makes you breakfast?
No, he doesn't make me breakfast. I make my own breakfast. That was one of the house rules.
Was the rules? No joke. Was the rules?
No, there's no rules. Literally, look, you know what happened? I went in, I moved
Why
in.
Can't people understand this? I'm 37, I live with my dad. Why would there be rules?
You know what's weird is literally this is the first time anyone has like pointed this out as being not a good situation.
Oh,
literally everyone's like, I would totally do that. Yeah, totally. Like, even women I've like was hooking up with were like, yeah, what? What's the problem? Yeah, I'm like, I know, right?
What? Make me a list of your friends so I understand who I'm talking to.
And then they go, okay, well, anyway, see you never.
The first friend I'm talking about.
They just
it's
wanted the
Menendez brothers.
Do you understand that we would rather live with each other as ex-boyfriend
That's
and
true.
Girlfriend than move in with any one of our parents, friends, anything?
The reason I didn't leave, I was going to leave immediately because I was going to move to LA, but what happened was
didn't happen.
My dad didn't live in LA.
Thank you. Thanks for my dad decided to stay here.
He leaves brochures around about L.A. Hey, Dad, you hear about this L.A. housing market? Right. It's not bad now.
And I was when I first moved there, I was traveling a lot, so I wasn't really there. And it didn't seem that bad because at the time I had a job. I was doing this TV show regularly. So it didn't seem as bad, like when I would meet a girl. Like to be like, I'd be like, oh, I live with my dad, but I'm on this TV show, so you know, I'm just looking for a place. So it's kind of like I didn't seem like that much of a loser because, but then I stopped doing that show like 2 months ago. So now it's just like, yeah, I'm just.
Let's go to your
just
place.
Came out with a rap album. Mm. But no, I'm moving at the beginning of February.
I feel like if you did a poll of all of our friends, that some of our friends live with their parents in New York.
I will shit on them too. Right. Is that what you're questioning? Cool.
And they better know it's wrong. You know what it is when people tell you? You should know this. It's very wrong. Don't act
Where are
shocked
you from?
Every time I feel
Where'd you grow up?
My parents' house, ironically. So I see your point. Good point.
Right.
I did.
So,
I was
see?
Raised by
right back at you. What the fuck, man?
Pennsylvania, close to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But what it is when people tell you, like, I wish I was able to do that. Oh, I want to be able to do that. First of all, they can't. Secondly, it's like when Chemda runs into Jewish people and they would say, Chemda will say, oh, my parents, they lived in New York, but they ended up moving back to Israel. And that's like, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to go back.
As a Jew.
And you're right. You corrupt other people in other parts of the world and you go back to Israel and pray to the Holy Chabka. And so they go, oh, that is fantastic. I wish I can do that, you know. It's like, right. You can. Like, yeah, but I mean, fantastic for your parents. Someday, God lachuk. It'd be great.
Yes.
But, I wish I could live with my dad. But, you know, I'm an adult.
Right.
And I can't.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Peggy Sue Got Married?
No, yes. I don't know if I did or not.
Is that about that?
Kind of, yeah. It's
really?
About, it's about
I
a
saw
girl.
It.
Well, it's a little different. It's about a girl who goes to her high school reunion. She gets, you know, she faints or something. And when she wakes up, she's back at home in her parents' house in the 60s.
I did see that.
And she gets to kind of like live with her family again for like a week or, you know, whatever. And
basically,
it's
my life is like Peggy Sue Got Married.
It's a really sweet, sentimental movie. And, you know, part of me wishes, and there's that thing like you can never go home again.
That's bullshit.
All you gotta do is
whenever
cry.
I hear that, I'm like, what are you talking about? Not only can you go there, you
hey,
can
Jessica,
move in all your shit.
I didn't I didn't watch the end of that movie. Does she pick to go back to her old life?
Yeah, she
does.
Oh,
look at that.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
She goes home.
Yeah, it was a week, right?
It was a week.
Yeah, not 7 months?
I think it was a week.
With promises about leaving in February?
I'm getting mixed signals. How do you guys feel about me doing this?
I feel like maybe you brag about the dad thinking it's funny. How often does your dad talk about his 37-year-old son being in his house?
I don't know.
How old is your dad?
We don't really talk. He's 39. he lives with his parents.
It doesn't sound like his dad has an issue with it.
No, my dad's just turned 80, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, I'm the youngest in my family.
I don't think that's... I don't know.
It's not like he's taking care of him. Don't just...
Yeah, he's not taking care of
him. He's 80, for Christ's sake. I mean,
I'm not taking care of him.
Come on.
I am taking care of him.
The guy probably enjoys having him around. I mean, realistically.
And, well, you know what? My brother's 40, and he lives with my parents.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they 80?
Look at his face light up like you have a chance.
Do they have a spare room? I'm looking to move in with some other people's parents.
They're up there. My dad's probably 70-something. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think he's at least 78.
Okay, so there you go. So,
I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, my brother's not taking care of him, you know. And so, yeah, my parents like the company, but they do feel guilty. Like, I think we're stifling his life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is,
they know a little bit that they're doing something wrong, actually.
Well, it's not like, has he lived there for a while?
Yes.
Yeah, he's lived there for a while. He's lived his life for 42 years. But you know, you're talking 40 years old, you don't go, he's lived his life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No,
I think your dad is like, what, early 70s, right?
He's up there. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so but the thing is, it's not like I've been living there for 10 years and won't leave. I basically was going to move in there for like
Is 10
month.
Years your cutoff? 10 years is like, you know what? Maybe.
I think 7.5 months is my cutoff. I think apparently 7 months is my cutoff now.
You've lived there for 7 months.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, you know.
Sean is saying give him a little more time and he can return the diaper favor for his dad.
Oh, man. It's very true. That hits home a little too hard.
Do you think like a couple more months I get the house? Like I just got to ride this out? Do you think about that? No?
I don't think there is a getting the house in this situation.
No?
It's an apartment.
And you have a lot of siblings too, right?
I have two older siblings.
Well, you would think you would get the place or the rent break. You're the one that put in your
time. Well,
I am
closest to it.
Right? do you guys, do you hang out? Like you and your dad? Like,
me and my dad?
Yeah.
Is he on the front of the CD? Isn't that your dad?
Yeah, my dad's actually on the front of the CD. I'm in bed next to him. I don't know if you have it, but...
Do you have it?
I do, yeah.
Let's take a look at your dad.
We do have it, by the way, but it's...
Lost. Thanks, Kanda.
No, it's just not handy in the hand right now.
Because I can't find it. Can I have this new copy?
Yeah, you can have it.
Thank you.
Why not? Yeah, you can have it. Why not? It's not like I need the money. For an apartment or something.
We're gonna sell it.
Well, anyway, here's what I was saying about the Indonesia, about the volcano erupting.
Oh, right, that
there's no point for that country. Just a little more information on it. The you know what? I'm okay. Don't worry about the CD. I'm over it. How big's your fucking bag?
It's really big.
He's got a Mary Poppins bag. Don't worry about it.
He's got have like 50 CDs in there.
I think. Okay, so it's you and your dad in bed. He's reading the paper, hoping you will get the fuck out. He probably doesn't even know what's going on, and you're just sitting like, I'm taking a picture for something. He's like, just get the fuck out.
He really didn't know what was going on.
It looks like it. You can kind of tell in the picture.
Really?
I think so. It kind of looks like he doesn't really know where he is.
I don't think
doesn't so. Know where he is. He does know where he is. He's in my fucking childhood bedroom.
He thought so. He thought
doing a photo shoot with me because I'm going to rapping late 30s.
I thought that you took a picture of him and maybe like photoshopped him into the bed.
No, he actually did it. It was a very I explained to him about 3 times what it was for, and he still had no clue.
the CD is called Get Rich or Move Back In with My Dad.
Uh-huh.
TMC is the...
It's my rap moniker.
What's it stand for?
The movie channel. Tom McCaffrey, my name.
Okay.
TMC, yeah. I look up so angry. I'm like, Tom McCaffrey! Like, Tom MC. I'm an MC.
I go by KML. Keith Miley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but see, that doesn't make as much, because MC is like a term for like MCing.
Oh, all right. I followed. I'm new to the world.
It's actually a little too close to DMC, but whatever.
But you have a lot of people on here. Ted Alexandro, Hannibal Buress, Aisha Tyler.
Yep. They were all very, they were nice enough to do cameos.
Joe DeRosa. How do you, I didn't know all these people rapped.
Yeah, they do. They're good.
Actually, Ted Alexandro, didn't he say that he was in a rap group or
him
something
and his brother,
in college?
Him and his brother were in a rap group when they were in high school.
Yeah, he's kind of awesome,
they were called,
actually.
I actually did, when I was promoting the CD, we did a show, and like it came out that the name of his group, it was him and his brother, and they were called Brotherly Love. And they did the Apollo one night, and they got booed off the stage.
I'm impressed. Really? And I mean, said, please, to get booed off of Apollo is normal.
Right. Yeah. He said it was so bad that it wasn't even like, it didn't really upset him because it was so ridiculously bad that it was just like, it was like laughable.
That's awesome.
But then I said to him, I was like, oh, two white guys rapping at the Apollo and the name of your group is Brotherly Love. How did that not go over?
It does sound a little gay.
It's like, give it up for I love my grandparents.
Where did people buy your rap CD?
It's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And could they buy it? Is there a website they can buy it directly from you, or you like iTunes?
I like it off iTunes. Right. You can do it. There's Be Seen Media has a like a press page for it, but
okay,
I mean,
iTunes sounds good.
Yeah.
You and the Beatles.
Yeah, finally.
Beatles just got on iTunes. Apparently.
Did that happen today?
It happened today. Apparently, that's a huge deal. Yeah. I don't get it.
I can't wait to hear those songs.
So does Michael Jackson?
No, I think it was it's a big deal because they were making it a point not to go on, right?
Yeah, but
they were boycotting it, basically.
Why? Was it because of the logo? They felt like Apple stole their logo.
Yeah, well, there was that thing.
The Beatles' complete back catalog is available through iTunes. Individual albums are $12.99. Double albums, $19.99, you know, such as their Best Ofs and the White Album. Box set of their entire work is available for $150. Individual tracks, $1.29. Box set includes all 13 of the band's studio albums, past masters, and an iTunes LP with mini documentaries, photos, notes, and more. So I guess all this stuff is digital. Digital photos and all that. The mini documentaries were initially featured with last year's CD box set and are also included on the individual albums. The band's mono collection does not appear to be available at this time if you're a diehard.
Hmm. Mono collection?
Yeah, they you know, they changed everything to stereo.
Right.
You know, before they did stereo.
Do you know what's crazy is everybody has their album that wants their album, but how much, like now that this is released, how many millions are they suddenly going to make?
It's weird.
Yeah. Just re-releasing digitally.
Mm-hmm. This is the combination of a long and sometimes bitter battle that has its roots in a 1978 lawsuit between Apple Corp and Apple Computer. After winning a lawsuit against Apple Corp in 2006, Apple Computer began actively courting the surviving band members and their heirs. So,
wow.
Yeah, there's a suit. Okay, lawsuit's over. We won. Now, you want to put your music on our thing or not? It was a long and winding road indeed, and the Beatles spent the interim releasing both the remastered albums and rock band The Beatles. As the years slipped by and iTunes continued to dominate the music industry, it became more of a when, not if, the Beatles were going to be on iTunes. Paul McCartney even starred in an iPod ad in 2007. The group's solo efforts have been available for a few years as well. Had the two Apple companies reached an agreement back in 2006, it would have been an even bigger deal because there would have been a branded iPod, you know, all that stuff.
Well, the Beatles really missed out on making some money.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think they're moving in with their
good
dad.
They're actually moving in with my dad.
At first they said...
that'd be cool if I lived with the Beatles. Sorry.
That's right. I'm sure the Beatles would brag about it, too, about living with your dad.
Isn't there only, like, one or two Beatles left?
Right. There's Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, Peace and Love.
Yeah.
And but they didn't like it. They said, no, people don't know how to represent our music properly in digital format.
That was the problem they were having?
And then they needed a new mansion. They said, okay, they figured it out just now.
That sounds so old person. Like, I don't, this just isn't going to be right.
Yeah.
That is so true. Yeah. Like, just refuses to accept change.
Yeah. This is not going to be okay.
It's not going to be as good as those records we have that start with static.
Right.
That there can't be a clear break in a song.
Yeah.
I need you to keep all that.
I actually do that when I record my songs now. I just go
really?
Before all my tracks.
Sounds classic.
I think it helps. I think it makes it, you know, the old people can connect.
That's
a little
why
better.
The Beatles, that's why the Beatles actually love your shit so much.
No, I have a very big old people clientele actually, yeah, because of that.
They told you to call them old people.
Yep.
That's how close you guys are.
Senior citizens.
So, the remastered CDs, which are higher audio quality at a price comparable to the actual physical CD release, which ranges around $15 for the individual albums. When you would buy it in the store, the box set was $260.
I think that kind of stinks, though. Cute. I like the idea of the box set. I like having the books and
stuff. I do, too.
Still available.
Right. Well, it's still available, and it's cheaper now. Now you can get it for $155, so you're only paying $20 more, and you have something that's physical. To me, I like that, but yeah. I guess not. I guess this is a new way.
Yeah, but both ways are available. It's not like we're taking away one of your, you know, ways right. of getting things. You yeah. guys can you just, still, you know, you sound like the old way is extinct. You could still get it.
I'm not.
True.
I'm not
making
saying
the
that.
Old way like seem a lot more difficult to do. It just seems so much easier to
right. I'm just saying that people are, I'm amazed that people are going to be so, that this is such big news.
I mean, you can get either one online, right? You can get the box set or the box set.
Right.
I mean, either way, you don't have to leave your house.
Thank God.
I just don't understand. I mean, did they think no one was downloading their music before this happened? I mean, it's just basically, look, if you want it, just steal it. Don't pay us for it. We're really. And also, didn't Michael Jackson own?
That's what I was going to say. Like, isn't he going to get most of the money from this or his estate?
God, that guy's fucking cleaning up. The best thing he ever did was die, right? I mean, now he has like an album coming out. And
with that's true.
And he has a video game.
I don't think that he owned all of their music. That's impossible.
I think he owned a lot of stuff, though. He owned a lot of their stuff.
I think he did own a lot. And wait, and Paul McCartney did an iPod ad?
A few years ago, yeah.
Actually, I think last I heard, Michael Jackson had maybe given some of it back to them or sold it back.
Yeah, because he was needing money for the court case, for the things he did.
For
to
the porcelain.
Kids.
With the kids. The things with the
for
kids.
For those masks for his kids.
That's all we say. With the different things he needed for the kids. The different beverages.
That's how we say it. Because I actually like Michael Jackson. I can't bring myself to admit. It's hard. It's hard for
admit
me.
What, that he was nuts?
No, that, no. You know, I don't want to believe that he fingered boys' assholes, basically. I don't want to believe that.
Right.
Well, when you put it so eloquently.
No, but when you don't believe it didn't happen.
Well, sometimes I say it to hope that maybe it will make more sense.
It's weird how he was able to spin that around and still, you know, make millions of dollars after he died.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to spin anything around. People just don't believe that he did that. They
really?
Just can't possibly. Really,
like
there's a
people
person
do.
On your right who just said the same thing.
I mean, know, but I feel like a lot of people actually do. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
Jessica, for example.
I feel a lot of people do believe. I believe it, but I'm still like, oh, yeah, that's a good tune.
I mean, when I say I don't believe it, I mean,
you just
I don't,
said you
I mean,
don't
I don't,
believe
I, it's like the way that I don't know if I believe in God, you know, like I'm agnostic about whether Michael Jackson fingered their buttholes
right.
or not, you know, I'm agnostic about that.
That's
right.
a very good analogy.
Thank you.
God is kind of like whether or not you believe Michael Jackson
it's
fingered
exactly the
boy's
same.
Asshole.
Identical. Thank you.
You're except, really going for the religious audience.
Except God, you really don't know. And this Michael Jackson thing, you absolutely
well,
do
I don't
know.
Know Michael Jackson.
You know. You know.
Keith, you think
like,
he did it, right?
That was a death stare.
Of course he did it.
Keith,
of course
like,
he did. Minimum, he's feeding children wine and sleeping with them. Minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is, yes,
okay.
not normal.
Now, so
minimum,
then,
he has really fucked up relationships with children.
Okay, but
minimum.
You're 12-year-old, right? After hearing what he's doing with 12-year-olds, the stuff that's absolutely, that he admitted to, would you send your 12-year-old
absolutely
to Michael Jackson?
Absolutely not. No
okay.
way. No.
I mean, it
even
depends
if, even
on
if
how
it's
much
not
I
true,
love them.
I wouldn't, you know?
No, it's that's
no,
true. Yeah, even if it wasn't, yeah, exactly. Even if, why would you just do that?
Why would
at
I
all?
Have a child who hangs out with a 40, 50, whatever year
I think
old man.
A child can hang out with a 40, 50-year-old man. It's
as
called
a friend,
babysitter.
Yeah,
right.
No,
or,
my babysitters aren't 50.
Or a mentor. And I think 50-year-olds.
Still babysitters?
No. But if I had kids, I'd want my babysitters to be like, you know, young women in their 20s. You know, that's, I feel like that would be.
Yeah,
my first choice. Second choice, 50-year-old man. First choice, 22-year-old
50-year-old pop icons.
I don't know if I really follow this. Tech Andrew is saying Beatles catalog was 25% Michael Jackson's. Now that he is dead, Sony is going to cash in. I don't know how that works. You die and then it goes to Sony. I don't get
maybe
it.
Maybe Michael Jackson left his music and his belongings to Sony because Sony gave him some money to bail him out of the kid debacle.
It ends up equaling $400 million per year.
That's not that
And that's
much.
25%.
Wow.
It's not that much. Not in this economy.
You can really use that money.
I could use that
now.
Money. We could.
It's really depressing that he's making $400 million more dollars than I am a year, and he's dead.
Well, I'm going to tell this fucking volcano story. I'll tell you that much. He was the keeper of Mount Merapi, an 83-year-old man entrusted to watch over the volcano's spirits, believing it could be appeased by tossing offerings of rice, chickens, and flowers into the gaping crater.
So he was, like, heckling the volcano with food.
No, he's trying to help it. But quite frankly, yeah, he probably set off the volcano, got indigestion. You can't just throw shit into Mother Nature's, it's, you know, a certain balance, they say.
Tender.
And when the eruption came, this guy, Marijan, was among those who died, along with dozens of villagers who believed him. That he would be able to warn them about the volcano. Oh, gods are fine. Really? I gave him two chickens.
Not warn them. He'd be able to stop it from happening.
Right.
He'd be able to do some kind of weird physics magic.
It doesn't sound like he warned them. Guys, it's not working.
The volcano began spewing 1,800 degree gases and thousands of panicked people streamed down the mountain slopes. This guy, Marijan, he refused to budge from his home deep in the evacuation zone just 4 miles from the crater. His rigid body was found in the Islamic prayer position and caked in heavy white soot. Nearby was an Indonesian Red Cross volunteer who had been trying to persuade him to leave. Some countries you can't save. The guy, you can't, you're not doing anything with the volcano. Well, that's just, you're saying Jesus
Christ.
That's
your opinion.
Right.
That's your opinion.
Yeah. That's what you think.
I think we can save.
Yeah, we'll work on another country with a polio or something.
Right.
There's other countries that can use your help. You can't tell somebody you can't pray to a volcano.
Right. I mean, I've tried millions of times.
I never thought he was going to leave us in such a way, says the guy's brother.
You never knew?
I agree with you.
I feel
Kenda.
Like, yeah.
He's lived through so many much bigger eruptions, I'm still in shock. On Thursday.
Did he run? They didn't mention that.
No, he
didn't.
No, he stayed still.
Through bigger eruptions?
Oh, I don't know I don't know about that. So it couldn't have been bigger. You know, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, he ran. He prayer ran.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't tell people he ran. It's like, it went around me.
Yeah. He's like that spoon guy who bends spoons.
On Thursday, politicians, soap opera stars, and singers. But now keep in mind, these are Indonesian stars. And, you know, I bet those are good shows to watch.
I'm actually huge in Indonesia.
No offense. I didn't mean to be offended.
No.
Offensive. There were among hundreds of people who flocked to Marijan's funeral on the fertile slopes of the mountain entrusted to his care by a late king. One of the world's most active volcanoes, Merapi, is located on the so-called Ring of Fire, a series of fault lines prone to earthquakes and volcanic activity stretching from the Western Hemisphere to Japan and Southeast Asia. When he was 50, Marijan was named keyholder of the mountain, inheriting the position from his father. But Dad, I want to work on new shoes.
How did his dad die?
No.
From a volcano.
Really?
For 33 years, the man led ceremonies meant to hold back Merapi's lava flows and quiet the spirits that he and other villagers believe live over the mountain that rises from the heart of the Indonesian island of Java.
Oh, you mean the clouds.
The mystical practice persists in Indonesia, even though most of the country's 237 million people, like Marijan himself, are Muslims. Islam is a relatively new arrival in the country and coexists with older traditions that have their roots in Hindu or Buddhist beliefs. Marijan was believed by many to have the ability to speak directly to the volcano, and fellow villagers considered him a hero, trusting his word over local authorities when it came to determining danger levels.
Wow.
So they have their own weather channel. Nobody's listening. They know about this guy.
Uh-huh.
Marijan was very conscious in performing his duties, but because he was a role model, many other victims died when the explosion happened because they still stayed in the village. Said his brother.
Because they thought he was just... He knew what he was going to work.
Yeah, he knew what he was talking about. Somehow the lava would go in reverse.
Right.
He's like, this is a false alarm.
He's like, guys, I got this.
But far from serving as a cautionary tale, Marijan's death has made many villagers only yearn for his quick replacement. A 60-year-old farmer is saying, I'm more afraid than ever. Who's going to tell us now what's going on with Marapi? The volcano. Who's going to tell us now?
But it didn't work last time.
Wait, it doesn't matter.
Are all the people named Mara something?
Marapi is the name of the volcano.
And then the guy's Marijan.
Marijan is the guy.
So they're all Mara something.
Right, it's the town of Maraville.
I like that.
My God. Okay, well, who's going to tell us now? Well, nobody. The guy didn't tell you the first time. No, he was good. First of all, he calmed it down most days. One day he fucked up.
Everyone has a bad day at work.
Everybody has a bad day.
He just messed up a few of the words in the prayer.
I feel like there's a volcano going off right now.
Maybe the chicken was old.
Maybe the
volcano was a vegetarian.
Maybe just like everything he said didn't work, and that it just kind of
erupted.
Maybe it was just kind of like
maybe
he was
spirits
ridiculously...
don't actually live in volcanoes.
Yeah, maybe it was just kind of a volcano that it was its time. So he tried to do it. So with this particular volcano, he did it, and it like worked a few times.
It seemed to be working for a while.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think he ever stopped lava from flowing, but he stopped it from even beginning.
I don't know. I feel like if I live near a volcano, I'm just moving somewhere else.
I bet rent is cheap, buddy.
Probably. Be like, yeah, I'm going to look in some other neighborhoods that don't have
we
volcanoes.
We all know where you're moving, Tom.
Yeah. Maripai.
Sarah Palin's
I think an apartment just opened up there. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sarah Palin's TV show started. Sarah Palin's Alaska brought in 5 million viewers. And keep in mind, this is also on the TLC, you know, not a regular channel per se. But Sarah Palin's Alaska brought in huge numbers, making it the highest rated series launch in the network's history. The very first episode, it's an 8-part series, seen by 5 million viewers. And I don't think like they're like, oh, these are necessarily Sarah Palin fans. I forgot about it. I'm definitely going to watch this show.
Totally. And you despise her.
Yes. According to Variety, you know what? I don't really despise her. I despise people that think anything is to her. She's a dummy somehow getting by. Almost good for her. I'm despised by everybody else that
I
really
kind of feel the same way.
Yeah,
you despise people that like her, basically.
For lack of a better word, you're respecting her. You're thinking she's saying something. And I know I said it in my last stand-up, but I honestly believe, without exaggeration, a Paris Hilton can run against Obama, and you don't know. It's a 50-50 chance. Like, well, okay, she didn't say anything smart in interviews. I'll give you that. Anytime she tries to explain anything, she sounds dumb. I'll give you that. But she's a real person, and she doesn't know how to play this political game. And people vote for her. And this is shocking. That's what I'm I can't be disgusted by some dummy.
Well, I think the scariest... Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. The scariest part about it, sorry. The scariest part about it is that it was working in that election 2 years ago. It seemed to be working.
Oh, yeah. Well. We were just shocked by it. But at the same time, I feel like most Americans respond to that tone, you know, because they feel like that's me. You know, the tone of, we're not talking about like New York and California. We're talking about, you know, oh, you make brownies too?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. I make brownies. I have to take my kids to the library also. You
relating.
Still use a, you know, it's
just
like
relating.
A whole, like, weirdo, I make brownies, I'm a human being. Like, who gives a fuck? Run a country?
Right.
You know? Somebody else is going to make your brownies and take your kids somewhere at that point.
It's not a brownie-making job.
Right.
If it was like a brownie factory president, then...
I still wouldn't hire her. I still would not hire her.
Right. Well, the whole thing with George Bush was like, oh, yeah, I can sit down and have a beer with him, which is like, I don't, so what? And they're like, oh, that guy thinks, you know, like, I remember he was running against Kerry, and people were like, oh, he thinks he's so smart. I'm like, yeah, that's a job for a smart guy. A smart guy should be doing that.
Plus, anyone who thought they could have a beer with Bush was probably wrong, because if you're basing who your president should be on whether you can have a beer with them or not, I mean... I don't say about my presidents, like, I could totally watch Sex in the City with that woman.
Yeah.
That would be, you know what? I think she likes Gilmore Girls also.
And nobody realized this.
Sleepover!
If you had a beer with Bush, he's relapsing. He can't have a beer. He's got a big problem.
I thought he was sober, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to have a non-alcoholic beer with him, or a lemonade or something. I got a job for Sarah Palin. She could take over Maripol. Right? That'd be a good job for her. Yeah. I would give her that job.
I heard this in the debut of Sarah Palin's Alaska. She's like, if I was over there, I would have gave that volcano a talking to.
And a brownie, right?
She said that?
Yeah. Tell your friends.
A talking to. Listen, volcano, I don't play those games in D.C.
She would have thrown some of those made-up words at it.
Right.
Sean from Calgary is writing in again. I take dumps. We have so much in common.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah, what kind of newspapers do you read, Sarah Palin? I don't know if you think women are stupid. And so, and then women are watching like, we're not stupid. You get my vote.
True.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't say anything about that. The first episode, yeah, I said it's an 8-part series. The series brought in 1.6 million viewers in the 18 to 49 demographic, but mostly skewed older. Viewers over 35, 3.9 million of them accounted for the majority of the audience.
But wow. Some people could have been watching, like, in dismay and that, awe.
That's
right?
That's exactly how I will watch. Yeah, of course.
I would. If I had nothing else in the world to do, I might have watched just out of dismay.
I can't watch yet until it's on iTunes, but I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah,
The King of Awesome.
Michael Jackson owns the rights to every show.
The King of Awesome is clearing it up. Palin's show is like Saw 6. You know it's gonna suck, but you're so invested.
Mm-hmm.
Was Saw 6 the last one that was just in 3D?
Yes.
Really, it was? Yeah. I saw it.
You saw the 3D one?
It was the only one I've ever seen.
Oh, how'd you know it was happening?
It was very confusing. The first 20 minutes when they were severing people's limbs, I was like, I don't understand. I love how they try and trick, though, that because they call it Saw 3D, so it's kind of like, oh, is this the third one? You know, even though I think it was the seventh one, actually.
Who'd you go with to a...
I went with this girl that I'm dating. And nice. My dad.
Is she a comedian?
Drove. That's right. No, she's not a comedian. No.
All right. What does she do for a living?
She works at a comedy club.
She a waitress?
No, she's not.
How long have you been dating her? 6 months?
Wow, this is... I wasn't prepared for this. We've been dating about 2.5 months.
All
right. I think officially this is me telling myself and her that we're dating.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you love her?
Huh? She's cool. Yeah? I don't want to go into that.
Could she be the one?
I don't know. Maybe. She's really cool. She's really nice.
What's
her... I'm kind of freaked out, though, because I've never... You know, I'm getting to the point, it's almost 3 months, where it starts to get really weird and something horrible happens, and that's not really happening. So I'm kind of like, what do you do when nothing horrible happens?
What was your longest relationship?
Not very long. A year?
Okay.
A year's long.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But what happens in these relationships around the 3-month mark that you're in it for another 9 months?
I don't know. You just get so addicted and you're not ready to go back and meet people.
How motivated are you as a person, period, in general?
I'm actually more motivated. No, I'm fine. I'm pretty motivated. But, you know, I don't know. You get in a relationship and then you get into the person. You know, you start not thinking clearly. You know, you've been there.
I follow.
So, and then you're kind of, you know, you think it's going to end, and then they do something really cool to bring you back, you know, and then you're like, oh, all right, and then a couple months go by, and then they're shitty again.
Right.
But this girl's, like, really cool and seems pretty normal. And
is she ready for you to move in with her? Because obviously.
I hope so.
Can't be the other way around.
It could be, but she'd have to be really, have really low self-esteem.
You ever fuck on your dad's bed? Like, look what I'm doing.
On my dad's bed? Yeah, I have.
Yeah?
Wait, not while he's there.
Let's hope he's not listening.
But you're thinking of moving to LA when things are going so well with this girl. Is that a problem?
Is she gonna come?
I think she might move to LA with me. So
when you fucked on your dad's bed, is it just because...
Yes, let's get back to the important part of the story.
Is it because the
so I love her and I think we're gonna... So you fucked on your dad's bed.
Is the futon's not so comfortable, or is there something like, look at this, I'm fucking on my dad's bed?
I just think maybe deep down there was some deep-seated, look at me, I'm fucking on my dad's bed.
Like, who's the head of household
now? I don't know who
now?
I'd be saying, look at me, I'm fucking on my... I don't know who I'm talking to. Look at me, everybody, I'm fucking on my dad's bed.
Did you ever...
My niece is like, we're going to go home.
Did you ever masturbate on your dad's bed? Nobody's there.
No, I have not done that. I feel like if I'm just going to masturbate, I'll go to my bed.
Right.
I feel like the times that I've hooked up with women on my dad's bed, his room was closer to where I was taking the
girl
from.
You couldn't even help it.
Right.
You weren't necessarily going for the better headboard.
You just saw the first bed.
Right. Bed. Fuck. The 1 foot down is his room.
The first bed we see, we're fucking in.
Yeah, basically.
That's the plan.
Have you had sex in the house and your dad's in the house? Like, shh, quiet. And it's,
yes, I have.
And is it extra hot? Like, oh my God, my dad's right there.
I actually did that. It was kind of Yeah, it added an extra layer of danger to it, which I don't know what the danger is. What's he going to do? Like, hey.
Catch you. I kind of hate that.
What are you doing? Like, oh, I'm just fucking, so.
I'm 37, Dad. Leave me alone.
when That's I'll, it. I'm running away.
When we go down to Philly sometimes, you know, Alex's childhood bedroom is still intact. He has his, like, bed and everything there. And sometimes we'll have sex in his childhood bed. Right. And it's so unnerving. I really hate it because, like, the bed kind of squeaks a little bit. And, you know, what are they going to do? Probably nothing. But it just, it makes me feel really kind of, like,
no,
bad.
It
makes me
creepy.
It makes me feel a little bad.
Tom's father high fives him the next morning.
Yeah.
Right. He just wakes. You're smiling. And Tom's like, I'm not smiling. He's like, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, it's one time I actually had a girl there, and then we were leaving the next morning. I was trying to sneak her out, and he was in the kitchen. You have to go by the kitchen to get out. And he saw her, and he was like, who's that?
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, no.
Oh, shit. I just had a thought.
This is really weird.
I bet that somebody out there knows Alex's mom and is going to tell her that they heard this. You know, the other day, actually, I was giving a guitar lesson to this kid, and she was like, I heard you on Keith and the Girl. She's like a 12-year-old kid, and her mom is a principal at the school.
Oh, man.
And I was humiliated.
And I just played my new hit on the show, My Big Old Cunt.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Which so you actually, wrote a lot
in
of people,
Alex's childhood bed.
Yeah.
You know what? When you have sex in their childhood bed, it's up to the sibling if it's okay or not. Do you know what I mean? If your boyfriend's saying it's okay,
yeah, and he's all right with it.
Right. The family, if they have a problem, they have to deal with him. You don't even know what the
fuck
you're doing.
That's a good point.
But if it's your parents' house, then that's...
I would never.
Right.
You would never.
No way.
You're staying there for a week with your boyfriend. You would never.
At my yes. parents' house?
Yes.
I would wait until they were gone. I would make sure they were not in the house.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
I would never have sex with them in the house. I would be way too embarrassed.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying, Tom. Up top, buddy.
Sometimes you just gotta, it goes down.
What are you gonna do?
Right.
Wait until Dad leaves? Well, he's 80. Where the fuck's he going?
I think it's a little different for guys.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, remember Tupac got blown in the middle of a dance floor of like a club?
Yeah, a girl could never have her vagina licked in the middle of a dance club. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
The difference between guys and
girls. You know why? Because
guys
would be coming up to, and like other guys would be like, let me try. Like they would like get involved. They'd
guys
be like grabbing, caressing the ass. And you know.
That's true.
It's totally true.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no other girl that goes, are you done?
Well, it depends on what club you hang out at.
Right, but you don't see like girls aren't going to see like a dude's being blown and be like, oh my God, we all get to blow this guy?
What's he taste like? My turn?
Right, but that's what the guys would do. They would be like, holy shit, this dance club has a licking girl. They just have like a lick lady.
I think you're kind of stereotyping guys.
I don't think I am.
I feel like if I was at a club and I saw a girl being eaten out, I'd be like, all right, where do I get my number? This is a good place.
I'm sorry, I'm still on licking girl.
Yeah, I'm right behind the guy that's playing with the licking girl. And I go, don't Bogart that, buddy.
Yeah. And what is this thing? The guys are just like, can't wait to just eat out girl. Like, that's
okay,
not...
Okay, Tom, I'm sorry. You're a very moral... You have a good, solid moral compass.
Yeah, this guy's fucking in his dad's bed.
Yeah, look, I got some class, all
never,
right?
You would never. What if it was like Jenna Jameson, you know? I mean, I don't believe you.
Then I would super not do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
What if it was some girl that you, like, were attracted to? Maybe?
If it was a girl being eaten out on the dance floor? I'd have to be in this situation, but I'm going to go on record saying right now, if I just saw a girl being eaten out at a club, I wouldn't just assume I'm next in that. And be like upset when I don't get my turn at it.
This is sad.
I don't even eat out girls like I'm dating or that I'm actually having. This is getting weird.
Well, now you're an asshole.
Yeah, I know.
You're not into that?
I do.
Tom,
it.
Are you gay? Is that what you're trying to say?
Did you not get the memo while he was talking that he wasn't into it? We all understood.
I didn't.
Tom
get
does
that.
Not go down.
No, I do. I do.
You're so full of shit.
No, I do. Sure. How often would you say? How many times a week have you tasted your latest lady?
How many times a week?
Yeah.
Like 50.
50 times a week, right?
And by a week, I mean this morning.
he's like a gay guy that's trying to act like we're, right?
Yeah.
How many times fucking? About 50 times today. How many times cool?
Or a gay guy, you know, like, or, like, when you, or a sixth grader also. It could also.
You know, right, like when you lick a pussy and it tastes like a bag of sand?
I love it. Don't you guys love that?
Yeah. Because, you know, a 40-year-old virgin, he's like trying to lie about touching her breast. It's like, yeah, you.
What's
feel
your
it.
Favorite position, from behind or when she's on top? It's one or the other.
I like it when she's on top.
I thought so.
Why? Because
you're a lazy lay.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm calling you out on it.
No, I do behind too.
No.
I did the other one that you just picked on me for.
Is that a lazy one? The behind? No, you got to do a lot of shit for that one.
No, you don't.
What? How do you know?
I know.
Okay.
How do you know person that has,
well,
sex?
Well, what's the one that you have to do the most work for?
I mean, missionary?
You wouldn't know.
I've done them all.
Like what? Why don't you tell me what the hardest one for
missionary
you is?
I've done, and then I've done the one where you have their legs, like.
What's the hardest one?
I think behind is kind of hard. You kind of got to keep the one where you have her legs, like, you know, over your shoulders.
Can I guess how big your penis is?
You can ask. I'm not going to fucking.
Five.
I really...
5 feet? Yes, you're right. You got it the first try.
Come on. Five, between five and five and a half.
Wait, what are you talking? You want me to tell you how big my.
Take
you don't have to, this. But if
it's
if
bigger
you want
than
to.
That.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
You don't have to
it's
answer.
It's bigger than five and a half.
Right. I want dick size so bad. Like I
know.
I
what's
want
your
that.
Vagina size?
You know what? I would like vagina size too. I don't think it's fair. Women have tit size. They have, when you meet, yeah, it, it's 38. You know, 24, 37, we have like this idealized version of the woman's body. I want like dick number, like 28, 28, right? Because guys are shaped like a box. So like 28, 28, or whatever the hell size you are.
What the fuck?
Like a 9B, box. Right? What? 28, 28, 9B. That's what I want.
What is a 9B?
Is we're going to
9
some...
inches, 2 inches in diameter each, like, you know, like, a, or maybe like, okay, a double A. Like, nice, batteries. Maybe we can use a battery. The same, whatever the sizes that they do for batteries. Like,
very nice. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good.
I'm a triple D.
Yeah, you don't care because you don't.
You're triple D.
You're not interested in guy dick size, so you say. But I care. You know, I want to know.
Do you know? Right. Do you know though that it's very misleading? For example, do you know Ken from Ken and Barbie? If a guy really had that dick size, quite frankly, it's impossible. They'd be dead. Do you know that? That's true.
I don't know what.
Yeah. True story.
I thought he didn't have a dick.
Yeah, he doesn't have a
dick. Is that the thing?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's true.
How many drugs are combined in this room?
None, really, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, I'm sober.
I
don't need to add a drug and drinking problem to what's going on in my life.
Do you drink with your dad?
No.
No?
Actually, my dad drinks, but I will never drink with him.
Your dad, yeah, still drinks?
He does, yeah.
How often does he drink?
A few times a week,
like
from
a,
what,
like
I know.
Wine,
I'm actually not there that much lately. The last month, I have not been spending the night there.
You're at your girl's place?
Yeah.
Eating vagina all day and night, right? I heard about you.
Basically, yeah.
Doing the just position with vagina, the legs up. With the
position with the legs up.
Tom
measuring my dick. Coming up with a cup size for my dick system.
Tom came in today. I go, oh, it's the go-down kid.
You've seen the poster.
I've heard things.
GDK.
You saw the billboard.
TMC GDK.
By the way, John Travolta and his wife Kelly Preston are having a new son, and they're going to have a silent birth.
That's how Scientologists do, though.
That's what it is, yeah.
What does that mean?
It means that the couple will follow the church's guidelines during delivery. No music, no talking, no screaming will be allowed during the pains of labor. So no drugs, of course, but no screaming or no complaining, not even talking.
What?
No screaming allowed?
Yes, no screaming allowed. You like this?
Bullshit.
I don't know how you could not speak, though. Aren't you supposed to give some sort of direction, or the woman's not allowed to speak? Is the doctor allowed to speak?
Nobody's supposed to speak.
I didn't know about the no speaking thing. I thought she just wasn't the the woman who's in labor wasn't allowed to over, and I put this in quotes, over dramatize the situation by getting loud.
Can they do hand signals?
I think this sounds crazy.
You could probably do hand signals, like ice chips.
Like, you have to write ow, ow, ow on a piece of paper and just hold it up.
Their new son cannot be prodded for medical tests or spoken to for the first 7 days of his life.
That's awful.
These people are horrible.
You don't want to do anything that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. Okay, quite frankly, Kelly Press and John Travolta had a retarded kid. Maybe you should steer away from this stuff.
Yes.
Also, neglect is something that, you know, will trouble him for the rest of his life, too.
Right, why is no one talking to me? You see that? You see that documentary, Look Who's Talking? They talk in the womb.
The other thing that's going to traumatize him is that he has a gay father that won't admit it.
Do you think he's gay?
Yes.
I'll have Keith can answer that for me.
I'll answer for him. Yes.
Yeah?
He's homosexual. John really? Travolta. Without question. Yes.
Really?
Why? Why? I mean, I agree.
Why?
Because,
well,
have
I'm
any
old
proof.
I'm old school. When you fuck dudes,
right?
I call you gay.
I didn't mean what makes him gay from
I've
the
seen
physical
it.
Act.
I've seen
You've
it.
Seen him have sex
yes.
with dudes?
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. You have a mirror on your ceiling?
You son of a bitch. You know what? You share something. You share something.
I want to know more details about
that. I do too. I can't believe I'm...
Did you see a YouTube video?
Were
you there?
I was in a club.
Yes, they allow that on YouTube. Here's a video of John Travolta butt-fucking someone.
He just couldn't get it taken down. I was in a club. I thought I was going to the bathroom. I'm a little tipsy, and I opened the wrong door. And there he was, giving it to a guy from behind. And he said, please close the door.
It was him.
And it was him.
And you didn't take a picture?
That's not my business.
Well, at least he's being discreet about it.
Right. It's not my business. I don't even like sharing the story.
When you open the stall door and go in, I think that's when it turns into your business.
It wasn't the bathroom. I was in the wrong door. Okay. It's where they keep the beer.
All this right. really happens?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I have some stories, too. About when Scarlett Johansson and Carmen Electra came over and blew me in front of my dad.
And then you went down on them?
In your dad's
and
bed.
And then I went down on them at the same time.
I worked in a... This is absolutely true. I worked in a... and I understand how it's not, proof positive, but I worked in an editing house, and a guy that worked with John Travolta, like, knew him and this guy that he regularly had sex with. And I believe him. And I don't know, just added to all the newspapers, and it's like something's going on.
The only thing is about whenever I hear stories like that,
right.
I'm not discrediting that, but
right.
people are always like, I know that George Clooney's gay, and they're like,
who's saying that?
I don't know, I've heard people say things like
he's
that.
He's not gay.
He's not?
Believe me.
I'm just using him as an example.
Did
you
walk into a bathroom stall and saw him fucking a girl from behind?
I know.
Fucking a girl? That is so gay. From behind?
Yeah, that proves he's not gay.
I was in a club.
Yeah.
And I was going to the bathroom. I opened the wrong door. George Clooney's there.
What are these? What clubs are you going to?
Starlight. And George Clooney's there.
Starlight.
And with a guy. And they're just talking.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's so gay. Talking about what?
That wasn't my business.
Oh.
I apologized and left. Kelly Preston says that she tried to have a silent birth with her daughter, Ella Blue, but after 13 long hours of labor, she told her husband, throw me in the car, I want an epidural. So I guess they're just they do it in their house. Maybe a midwife, I don't know. Scientologist midwife.
If it hurts, you have to scream. Well, I can't imagine.
I don't know, I feel like if you're screaming, you probably have to scream. That's all.
There was a study done that says that if you are experiencing pain and you swear or scream, it actually physically reduces the pain that you feel, which is why when you stub your toe, you go, motherfucker, and it actually helps your pain subdue.
That's why I do that?
That's why you do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hit another part of my body.
You do?
To make the pain go away, yeah.
I give myself an epidural.
You distribute the pain.
In the car.
Lincoln police said a woman, this is in Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska. Lincoln police said a woman tried to slice a tattoo of her name off her boyfriend's neck.
Oh my God.
She's a 19-year-old woman with a 30-year-old boyfriend. They got into a dispute 6:40 p.m. on Friday, and she tried to cut off his tattoo. Like, well, you don't deserve
my
name on you.
Or slice his throat.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's just saying it's a tattoo. Right. Like, she really tried to kill him.
No, I think she could be that stupid, but she doesn't understand that at the same time she's slicing his throat, which could mean some other stuff.
Yeah. So, I hope they work that
murder.
Out. That seems like a...
They probably have a future together.
That seems like a small speed bump in
their relationship. Well, they're in relationships like you were, Tom. It's like, okay, I'm out. Pancakes? Oh, my God. You do something sweet. Yeah.
Maybe this is the 3-month thing you were talking about.
I was almost out with the cutting my throat thing. But now that you've bought me a new shirt...
You should try to see how long they were going out for. I bet it's about 3 months.
isn't it about 2 or 3 months when something starts to go wrong?
No, I agree. Like, the first month is very, very easy because how much are you seeing each other? You're very excited about what potentially could be that person. No, I agree. 2 or 3 months, at that point, it could shift. I also think 9 months is something. You know, there are shifts.
They say 7 years.
Yes. I like how you're looking at both of us. 5 years.
Nine months when the baby comes out. You're like, you know, this is weird.
You changed.
I'm not really into this.
Mel Gibson admits that he slapped, not punched though, he's saying, slapped Oksana Grigorieva. Remember she...
Oh, yeah.
You know, she said, and you hit me, and he's like, fuck you, and I'll kill you. And now during court proceedings, he's like, oh, okay, I'll give you a slap. How about slap? Can I give that to you? Mel Gibson has admitted to slapping his baby mama in the explosive January fight that, you know, everybody's heard, but claims he was just trying to save the baby. In a sworn declaration dated June 23rd, he admitted to slapping her across the face. He denies punching her. She claims the actor punched her in the temple and in the mouth, knocking out 2 teeth during the fight that led to a domestic violence investigation. Mel Gibson says that she grabbed her daughter, now 1 year old, out of her bassinet and ran away with the child, causing the little baby's body to be flung from one side to the other, her head shaking violently. Mm. Worried that the baby would suffer shaken baby syndrome, Gibson said he slapped her in the face, quote, one time with an open hand, an attempt to bring her back to reality. Not just try to take the baby away, you slap her.
He slapped the baby?
He slapped the mom. He slapped the mom. But just try to take the baby away or something. You're going to slap the mom with the baby in the hand if the mom doesn't have
it together. He slapped the mom with the baby.
Well, she had the baby in her hand, yes.
He slapped the mom so hard he knocked 2 of her teeth out.
I did not slap her. You know he didn't slap her with the baby, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
You know this didn't happen. Okay. I did not slap her hard. I was trying to shock her. So there you go.
So he punched her with a closed hand. I mean an open hand.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm more, you know, I'll take Mel Gibson's word because he seems to have his shit together. And he seems to really react well in stressful situations.
Do you believe that Mel Gibson is insane? Are you like, I don't want to believe it. I heard the tapes, but his acting's good.
I heard those tapes and they made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And I've actually been, you guys know a little bit of the backstory. I've been in situations not like this, but kind of similar, and he actually sounded very familiar. You guys have heard the tapes.
You used to date Mel Gibson?
Basically, yes.
Academy Award winner Michael Douglas yesterday beat his ex-wife's greedy bid to grab half of the millions he earned for his reprise of financial villain Gordon Gekko in the sequel to Wall Street. So he had a wife. They break up. She gets half his money from the original Wall Street.
Who is this? Who?
Michael Douglas. The wife gets half the money from Wall Street, you know, when she was in Wall Street. Wow. And now there's Wall Street 2, and she's suing, saying, I get half of that money, too.
Were they together when he made Wall Street 2?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, my God. That's fucking crazy.
It's also crazy because the way the article starts, it says Michael Douglas beats his wife. Like, isn't that the first?
He beat his ex-wife's greedy bid.
He beat his ex-wife. I thought you were going to say that he also.
And it's greedy bid. Like, it sounds like it's going to be something else.
Yeah.
He beat his ex-wife's greedy bid.
A Manhattan judge.
Did Mel Gibson write that article?
A Manhattan judge ruled that his ex-wife's efforts to swipe part of the megastar's loot from Wall Street and Money Never Sleeps under the terms of their 1997 divorce settlement belonged in a California court, because that's where the couple split. So the wife's lawyers wants this in a California court. Michael Douglas wants it in a New York court. And I think the reason is because in New York, we're going to go, that's fucking ridiculous, the end. In California, they have all these rules like, well, it's a Hollywood thing.
Mm-hmm. No. In California, the rule is the wife gets half.
Of everything?
Period. I don't know. I don't know, but that's a good start for her.
Is it because it's the same character from the first one, that because he's reprising it, that
Well, I'll tell you what.
She helped build that character.
Yeah.
California, not New York, is the proper form, Manhattan Supreme Court judge said. It's noted that a California court would have greater familiarity with the court with both the law of community property and the facts of the underlying divorce, her lawyer says. If she refiles the case in California, she's getting to lose. She's going to lose on the merits, as Michael Douglas's lawyer. Judges there are more familiar with the film industry cases, she added. Michael Douglas, who is now battling throat cancer, poor guy.
Oh my God!
Is thrilled.
He's having a tough year.
Fucking believe this.
That really is crazy.
You know what I like to picture when this kind of stuff happens? At some point, these people were so in love, they were writing each other letters that they would never, never, ever in their life think that they would have written. And I can't believe it. And I feel high when this woman's around. I get excited and butterflies. And now he's battling throat cancer, and she's like, you know what? There's some more money in you, isn't there?
She's like, remember that movie that you made 10 years after we divorced?
But at the same time, I wonder if he did such horrible things while they were married that she is just
maybe
resentful.
She's like, I don't give a shit about your throat cancer. Let it kill you.
Yeah, like you were such the worst husband possible, and I so believed in this that you shattered my entire existence. Fuck the rest of your existence.
Yeah, well, she
could be.
It seems like she's really moving on.
So. I mean, right. Whatever the case is, like, you know, there's a reason why she's doing it.
Well,
maybe she's desperate. Maybe she's poor. Maybe she's addicted
to
drugs.
That's why I get scared whenever I get in like any kind of relationship early on, because I'm like, because at first you're like, oh, they're so cool, they're so great, and you're like, well, yeah, but then there's always this fucking
there's always
this where then like people just want to kill each other.
You
and
guys
they hate
didn't
each
go
other.
Through that though.
No, but I don't know. I feel like you have to keep somewhat of a head. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't just shit all over each other. I don't know what would bring me to
on
each other.
We already have it that it's 50-50. Yeah, what's going to happen?
Really, not really. You're wrong, Keith. I just think we're not concerned about each other's finances. Like, there is a house here, you know?
Yeah.
And there is, like, we do have things that we've bought together that, you know, one or the other might want. I think we just somehow settled on, you know, this is what you're more into. This is what I'm more into. This is what you brought in. This is what I brought in, I guess.
I was very, in my CDs where I thank him at the time, I was very careful about the wording in case we ever have to go to court. Michael Douglas wasn't. He probably said, like, I probably wouldn't be in this movie. It wasn't for my gracious wife. Mm-hmm. And she's like, cha-ching.
Yeah.
See you later.
That's the thing.
I have my autobiography is going to come out. And in it, I thank my current girlfriend. But then afterwards, I say, just to be clear, though, this may not be used in court for any reason.
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That was actually in Michael Douglas's Oscar speech.
He should have.
For Wall Street.
She is 52 years old. He's 65, if you're curious. She's claiming that their 1997 divorce settlement entitled her to 50% of any money he received from movies that he made during their 2 decades of marriage. Hmm. And that if there are any spinoffs to the movies, for instance, Michael Douglas in Wall Street, they would get that money also.
So then she's right.
But Michael's lawyers are saying this isn't a spinoff, it's a sequel.
Oh, so it's really does say spinoff.
Right.
Hmm. I'm still waiting for that Wall Street spinoff.
Like,
wow. You know, I really like that.
Has that ever happened ever in a movie, a spinoff?
It would be like something if it was called Money Never Sleeps. What a dumb title. But anyway, if it was just called Money Never Sleeps and Michael Douglas said, yeah, I talked to my lawyer. You have to call it Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
Yeah.
Then it's not a spinoff. It's a sequel.
You know what's amazing, though, is that these two, she's 53 and he's 67 or whatever.
Right.
They're like 13 years apart. But there was a time when that was really hot. You know, she was like 22
right.
and he was 37.
Right.
Right. When you're 67 and it's 53,
yeah,
you're
it's
like,
not...
you're kind of old, too. This is gross.
No wonder she's suing him. He's probably disgusting.
You know the guy, the JetBlue attendant who, you know, lost his shit.
That's all you have to
shit.
Say. Isn't right. that funny?
Oh,
the
yeah.
guy who jumped
Tell me
out
more about this.
Who jumped out of the plane.
Steven Slater, you know, some supposedly. And then the whole plane is saying this never happened. Somebody went for their luggage, their carry-on bag.
In the overhead.
In the overhead. And he said, okay, wait till the ride comes to a complete stop. And they said, fuck yeah, I'm taking my bag. And he said, really? Well, fuck this whole plane. Grabs two or three beers, opens the emergency chute. Obviously, they already landed. And jumps down and says something to the extent of, and there was absolutely cursing in the F word. He's like, fuck you bitches, I'm out of here. Slides down and then just had to do like probation, maybe a little community service. Didn't get jail time or anything. Well, now the offers are going to start coming in. He of course, lost it aboard a taxing plane at JFK this summer and deflated this craft's emergency chute to flee. He's been hired to judge a contest to find the most outrageous airplane tale. Flyers are urged to text their crazy stories to the Queens resident as part of a Mile High Text Club promotion for Talk To Me, the company that makes Line 2, a mobile app that allows in-flight texting.
I've got two great stories.
I was on a plane once, and I saw John Travolta and George Clooney in the bathroom.
I have real stories.
What happened?
Well, first of all, I have the Mile High story.
Nice.
And the Mile High story was with the son of a somewhat celebrity, like maybe a B-list celebrity. I shouldn't say, but I'll tell you guys after the show.
Okay.
And then
who does it rhyme with?
I'll talk about it later. Oh. And then the other story is...
Does Screech have any kids, Kanda?
The other story was I lost a scarf. I lost my scarf at the JFK, like, you know, whatever machine, the x-ray thing.
Right.
And I realized I had lost it on the plane, and it was like a really expensive, nice scarf, and I was very upset. And I flagged the attendant over, and I just kind of like started crying because I was like, oh my god, it was a long day, and I'd lost this really, you know, important thing to me, and I was like, oh, is there any way we can ever see it again? And he was really helpful. He found it for me. He went back to JFK on his way back through. He found it, gave him my number. He called me. He was like, I've got your scarf. It's safe. I'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Did you guys do it?
Well, he kept kind of using my scarf as like leverage. He kept calling me up and being like, "So I want to give you the scarf back. You think maybe you can join me for dinner?" And I said, "Hey, you know, like discount flights, it might not be a bad idea to get to know this guy a little bit. You know, he's handsome, young guy."
Sounds like love.
This is based on such beautiful, such a beautiful
whatever.
Foundation.
Don't judge me. And by the end of it. By the end of the whole thing, the way it ended out was he texted me a picture of his like hard cock at
ew.
You know 4 a.m.
Right.
And I just prayed that my scarf wasn't wrapped around it.
You hadn't even gotten the scarf.
I hadn't
back.
Gotten the scarf. I never met him. He just kept texting me and saying like we should hang out. You know, I want to get together, and for some reason we couldn't.
He really knows how to up the
ante.
Yeah,
How did that get to that place?
I wrote him a letter and I was like, "You better send me that scarf back now, or I'm going to send this picture to JetBlue."
What address did you give him? You gave him your address?
He sent it to a friend of mine's house.
Okay.
He actually sent you his cock.
He probably wiped it all over
this,
the scarf.
This was from JetBlue?
I had it cleaned. It was a JetBlue attendant,
the fuck are they doing over at JetBlue?
This is a great endorsement for JetBlue.
I like their TVs.
I've flown on JetBlue since, and I would fly on their planes again, but, you know.
Lauren just came back from Amsterdam on Sunday. She still doesn't have her luggage back. Oh. It is Tuesday. They said that, they left it. She had a layover in Ireland, and they never put the suitcase on the new flight. And now they said, you know, on Sunday when she landed, we will, have it sent over to you on Monday. You know, sorry about this whole thing. It's Tuesday. She hasn't heard from them.
That's bad.
She hasn't heard from them? Wow.
Yeah.
I hope she didn't bring stuff she liked with her.
You have these fucking assholes give you such attitude. It's like, just put it under the plane. Don't take it with you if it doesn't really fit. Put it on the plane. They say with such attitude, not bringing up that there's a good chance I will lose your luggage. Like, don't you know your record of luggage?
That's true. They always are such dicks. Like, come on, what the fuck? It's not going to fit. It's like, I don't want to give it to you because I want my shit.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, part of the problem is, you know, when you get off the plane, there's an extra step because you have to wait for the luggage. But the main part is, if you lose this, I wear the same shit all the time. I only have but so much clothing. I hate going shopping, so I pretty much pack what I like. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're tossing
you
my
your
entire,
stuff.
You know, whatever fits on me now.
In my case, I lose my favorite guitar. You know,
right? Yeah, I lose all my favorite porn.
And when Keith and I travel for, you know, to do shows, we have all this merchandise, and then we have, you know, some of the equipment and stuff. And I cringe every single time.
No, like, I moved to LA in like 1999, and so I went with all these bags, and they lost all my bags, and I didn't have them for. And I had never had that happen, so I kind of just thought, there's a good chance you'll never get any of your stuff
back. That's
how
I would think.
Yeah, so I was really upset. I mean, I got it back like 3 days later, but that's like not a good beginning to your trip.
Yeah.
To, like, all right, I'm in LA. Oh, we don't have any of your stuff. All the stuff that you own, yeah, it's gone. Like, oh, cool, sweet.
Now, you, Jessica, when you're banging this guy on the plane, were you dating him or you found him on the plane?
No, I found him on the plane. When I was a teenager, I was a really bad, like, troublemaking whore. Like, I liked to have sex with, you know, and I was risky. I was like a troublemaker, a sexy troublemaker.
How old when you say teenager? They really
I was 19.
They have to have two names for teenagers.
You're right. Yeah, because 19 is different than 14.
It's
right.
True.
19, so you could, like, fuck someone on a plane.
I was 19 or 20.
Right.
And I saw this guy, and I was thinking, because it was kind of a little bit of a backstory, but I met a guy in L.A. who was very wealthy, and he kind of spoiled me a little bit. He had a girlfriend. He wanted me to hook up with his girlfriend. We did end up fooling around a little. And on the way back...
wait, can we go back to that story?
On the way back to New York, he got me, like, a Playgirl magazine with Tom Selleck on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for some reason, I was looking at it and I just got this idea. I was inspired by Tom Selleck to get a person on the plane and, you know, have sex with them.
That's not the first time Tom Selleck has inspired
that. No, it's not. That mustache, it does weird things to a person.
So what happens? You just pick somebody out?
Well, I saw this guy walking down the aisle and I was like, that's the guy. And I wrote a note, you know, quickly as he, you know, it takes a while sometimes because people pick their seats, they put their shit up. So I'm waiting for him to get to me and I wrote a little note that said, anywhere, anytime, any place, or in the bathroom, ?
Wow.
And I handed it to him, and he was petrified. He was like, what the fuck? You know, right. And he left it. He took it. Thank you. And left. Came back over, and he was like, is this real? And I was like, yeah, it's real. Of course it's real.
Yeah, of course.
She's like, opening her mouth right there. Let's go.
Why would you think this wasn't real?
And he was like, he was like, I have some work to do, and let me talk to my friend about this, and I'll be back. And he was like, maybe in a little while you can come, we can have a drink and, like, have a chat. I was like, okay, you know, that's reasonable.
Look at this, I'll talk to my friend. You're the licking girl.
Yeah.
On the plane.
Exactly. So you fucked his friend.
So I went over and sat next to him, and we talked for, you know, most of the ride back to New York. And at that point, I was pretty drunk, and he was pretty drunk. And we were definitely getting along. We're, you know, both, like, young and good-looking people. And he was like, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, let's. You know, why not? You're only young once on a plane with, you know.
It definitely breaks the tension when before you talk to someone, you know you can fuck them. In the bathroom.
Is this a first class bathroom or a coach bathroom?
Coach.
How are you doing it?
It was doggy style. No. It was I was kind of leaning on the, I was sort of sitting on the sink area.
Okay.
And my legs were up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how was it?
It was horrible. It was like
he kept hitting the toilet.
Yeah, that doesn't sound.
And like there was a woman knocking on the door the whole time, being like, and then eventually the stewardess came over and, like, you know, gave a shit, and that's not appropriate behavior on an airplane.
Oh, you got caught basically.
Sort of.
So did he finish?
Yeah.
Did you finish?
No.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
You can't win them all. You can't win
that
them all.
That does sound horrible.
But then afterwards, we actually dated for like a while.
You did?
So, yeah, we ended, because he was in Philly. No, I was in Philly and he was in New York. So we ended up like hanging out and he would come and visit me and I would go visit him. And
now that's
nice.
Now you saying he's the son of somebody that people would probably know.
Yeah.
Did you didn't know that at the time? Why would you? Or is he saying that as you're fucking, like he's given his whole pedigree?
No, we talked about that beforehand.
And it was hotter?
No.
No?
I don't think it made a difference.
Okay. Like, you're not thinking of the dad?
No. The dad
who was the dad?
The dad was an actor on a TV show. On like a show that
Tom
we've all
Selleck?
Seen. Oh, I'm going to tell you guys.
Wouldn't that have been great if
right
it
now.
Had been Tom Selleck? It would have been such, you know,
that been perfect,
closure
yes.
or whatever.
He probably knew Tom. His dad probably knew Tom Selleck because they were, you know, kind of contemporaries.
Full circle is what you were going for.
Yes,
I believe.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes,
closure. Yes. That made no sense.
Well, thank you guys, and that was a great show. And we'll
hey,
talk to you tomorrow.
I want to talk about something.
Yeah. Well, it's already too late. I'll throw that in later. Right. Hey, Jessica, who was the guy you were saying is the dad? That knows Tom Selleck.
I'll tell you.
It was Alan Thicke? Just said that in my ear. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, in New York, by the way, we're talking about this, you know, past couple days, Four Loko being banned in all these places. New York, it's going to be banned as well.
I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
I'm not. We were sipping on it yesterday. Disgusting. It is not right. It is made for kids, and it's very strange. Employees at city convenience stores and bodegas yesterday cheered. They were happy. New state rules that would effectively ban a caffeinated alcohol brew aimed at young drinkers. So this is not all caffeinated alcohol brews. This is Four Loko specifically. Hmm. They use it, and people go crazy, says this guy that runs a convenience store in Manhattan. Sometimes kids come in before school. They buy them like crazy.
Really?
Kids, he's saying?
That's
and
what
it's
he's
his
saying.
Store?
He's
I just took your them? License away.
Yeah.
By kids, well, maybe he means 21, right? Again, the two age groups necessary. And
but he said before school.
Yeah, the
college.
Really shitty students.
Yeah, bad wording.
The state liquor authority successfully pressured the state's biggest beverage distributors to stop delivering the wildly popular drink next month. The deal allows the state to fine any store found selling the stuff after December 10th unless the merchant can prove it was ordered before the deadline.
Oh, so many are going to be ordered right now.
Right.
Holy shit.
The 23.5-ounce cans come in lemonade, fruit punch, and watermelon flavors.
exactly.
It's not, believe me. They have as much alcohol as 3 beers, along with 3 cups of coffee.
What?
Jolt of caffeine.
Oh, my God.
There's no way that can end badly.
Right. Well, we were saying this yesterday. You're selling an upper and a downer together. That's
very
strange.
Yeah, it's like crime juice.
Crime juice. They tried to call it that.
He's like, the kids go crazy. Yeah, that's because it's crack.
One can and you're wasted, said a 21-year-old who likes it because it's a cheap way to get drunk. A girl.
Well, I'm sold.
Yeah, they're just asking people on the street. This is Larissa Castro. She's 21. She says the ban won't work. She said dealers will find a way to hawk the booze. They'll start selling it out on the street. I disagree. I saw some people saying this. It's not that important.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get it, you don't get it. You're not gonna be buying it out of the trunk of a car.
I think so too. I think right now they're giving everybody a fair warning, like, here, get your kick on, make sure you try it, and then that's the end. I don't know.
You can't buy pot in stores and people find a way to make it happen.
Yeah, but pot is pot.
Exactly. I feel like if you want to buy shit on the street illegally, like, there's other shit that's better than that.
When you can actually buy
like
crack.
Purses.
Yeah.
But when you say, what you're saying is,
where?
They're finding pot is illegal. And the better analogy would be like all of a sudden you can't get Maui Wowie.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? But you can get other pot.
Right, you're right, Keith. That's a good point. And the feedback is writing in. They're just going to come out with 5 Loko, so it doesn't matter. And Newsy on the Couch is saying people are going to have some farewell for Loko parties, and there's going to be massive blackouts and rapes.
Right. Oh, I agree.
He's looking forward to it.
Jessica, when you thought we were stopping the show, what were you going to say?
I was going to say I have a new CD coming out.
Yes. First of all, let me say this. I loved your last one.
Thank you.
I wish I was famous.
I want to be famous.
I want to be famous.
Which is actually
me.
Not even true. I want to be rich, but I don't know. I thought it would be a good title.
Yeah.
But I think I Want to Be Famous is fantastic. I told you that. I think it's very funny. I think you're quite the talent.
Thank you.
I can't believe you're such a whore.
Thank you. I'm not. I'm really not anymore. I've really mellowed out in my older age. It's actually too bad
for Alex.
I think I was.
Yeah.
I think I was a lot more fun.
So you want to fuck in the bathroom? That's the old me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's
very disappointing to Alex. Yeah.
But tell me about the new CD.
It's a Christmas CD, a holiday CD, and it's 5 tracks. Just an LP, right? No, is that what it is?
EP.
EP. No, LP, right?
EP.
Limited play.
EP.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's 5 tracks.
An 5 ELP.
Tracks.
Short.
It's 5 Loko.
It's a 5 Loko. It's a short CD about the holidays. Yeah.
All right.
And where is it available?
You can get it. Right now, the only place to get it is just send me money through PayPal and I will ship it to you. It's $10 anywhere in the U.S., $15 anywhere in the world. You can go to jessicadelfino.com or my blog, jessiedelfino.blogspot.com, and get more information.
Are you boycotting iTunes too?
No, I'm not. I'm actually, it's going to be on iTunes, but not in time for the release date, which is December 1st. So
you can pre-order it now.
Yeah, but I'm only making 100 actual hard copies. I'm only making 100, and I've already sold about half of them, so there's not 100 left. There's about 50 left. And the originals come with artwork, and they're autographed, and they have my, they're numbered and stuff, so they're like a collector's item.
Did you know when the Beatles made the White Album, there was only 100?
I did not know that.
Yep.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Tell your friends that one.
There's only 100, but it's going to be digital, but probably not before Christmas.
They made it while John Travolta was fucking someone in the bathroom.
This is true. This is true. And of course, your CD, Get Rich or Move Back In With My Dad, right. The great TMC.
TMC,
oh,
Tom
wait,
McCaffrey.
Can I mention something else? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. You can. We're done with you,
no,
Tom.
This is a perfect time while I'm plugging my album. So my album is, hey, I have
done.
One more thing.
I'm not done.
Okay,
not
yeah, done. Go, yeah.
I also have a party it's December 12th at Arlene's Grocery that is like a CD release party for the CD.
Oh, cool.
Which is, it's with Carla Rhodes.
Okay.
Arlene's Grocery, December 12th, which is a Sunday night. Yeah, more
Tom,
information on
would
my
you
website.
Like to interrupt that?
What time
Tom?
Is yours at? What time is yours at?
I don't know. Like
I'm having a CD release December 12th, right at the same time, and it's Carla Rhodes
is
and
it at
Tom
your dad's
Selleck.
House? Is it in your dad's bed?
Yes.
All right, so you go to jessicadelfino.com, and do you have a website, Tom?
I used to. I don't have any anymore.
Does your dad have it?
This yeah. is in your dad's
I took it down because it just didn't. I just didn't use it anymore. So you can go to my Twitter, or my Facebook. Those are basic. Or I have a page for this CD.
Could you mumble it? With my try to mumble.
It's called.
But you're on iTunes?
I'm on iTunes. That's where, if you want to get the album, it's on iTunes. And it got, you know, some good, you know, the Onion AV Club gave it a good review.
And did Time Out New York also? Did they give it?
They plugged my CD release show, but they didn't review it. This other.
Are we battling plugs right now?
No, what's going on. No. We talked about
actually,
this.
Actually, Jessica Delfino's family plugged it.
So, Tom McCaffrey, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
Jessica Delfino, anything else, Keith, before we go?
This, of course, the show is brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast from two blank Minnesotans. How old would you guys think?
30.
30-something is correct. Small-town news, celebrity gossip, TV movies, and their daily lives are all discussed. Wicked yet sweet. Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information. We'll see you tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com